Welcome to Dunzo. This is a podcast that explores hookups and breakups of famous lovers and friends, both real and fake, and all the discarded pop culture of yesteryear. I'm your host, Troy McEady. You guys, welcome to whatever episode this is of Dunzo. It is me, Troy McEady, and I am so, I'm sure you can hear it. You can hear my smile. I know that you can. I am so excited for today's episode. First of all, I have family here today. I could let my hair down. I feel very comfortable. My friend Michael Kadosh is here. Michael, how are you?
I'm great. How are you? Thank you for having me back. I'm honored, darling.
Are you kidding? Are you kidding? I'm so, first of all, we haven't recorded in a while.
I know, a really long time.
It's been a long time. The last time we recorded was for your podcast.
We did Madonna's Music, and that was last September. It's been what, like 7 months? My goodness.
It's been a fucking while. So this is definitely much needed. First and foremost, before we even get into it, I just want to congratulate you right now that you're fucking killing it.
Oh, well, thank you, friend.
You're killing it in life and like having sit down conversations with Ashanti. Like, I can't deal with it.
It's like crazy because, to be honest, obviously everyone who listens to your podcast, who's met me through there, whatever, who's listened to my podcast knows that this kind of stuff is my life, right? But right. To be honest, like in the real world, like in the non-podcast world, like it's a friggin' hustle. Like you really have to work. If this is like the type of things that you are passionate about, which I know you are and I am, there really wasn't an option of what I'm gonna do with my life. Like I have to work in entertainment news. So I kind of just like didn't give up, and I was working like dead end jobs for years, doing my podcast, making no money off of it, just trying to kind of enrich my skills. It's been a couple months now, and I live in Canada, you guys. So I'm in Toronto and I work at eTalk, which is, for those of you who aren't in Canada, think of eTalk as like Access Hollywood. It's the Canadian version. So that's where I work now. And so it's cool. And I finally feel like I'm getting my career started professionally, even though this is really what we've both been kind of doing for years anyway. But, but I'm like blessed and honored because you know what, like for a while, you know, the pandemic kind of hit right when I finished school. So it really was like a couple years of like, no one's going to hire me. What am I going to do? But you kind of just don't give up and you keep working when it's something that you actually love and care about. And so thank you. All that to say, I appreciate the congratulations. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. It's like so fun watching all of this stuff happen. Like I literally am like, when you post a story, I'm like, who the fuck is he going to be interviewing or talking or connecting to? Who is he going to be 1 degree separated from today? Like it's really exciting. So and also tell people where, before we even, because we're going to talk for like a while, I assume, so tell people first where they can find your podcast and what your podcast is called.
My podcast is called Planet 2000s, and I mean similar to you in the sense where I just am completely in love and enamored with these Y2K queens and some kings, you know, we love them. I do album reviews, my versions of album reviews. We kind of go over the whole era. Sometimes I'll have guests, sometimes it's just me. It's everywhere. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeart, whatever the hell you listen to. And it's on Instagram as well. You can catch me at Planet 2000s. If you love all the girls and some of the guys, you'll enjoy it.
And a sprinkling of testosterone, then you will absolutely.
A sprinkling, because there's some, but there's just not enough to carry a whole show. Like, let's be honest.
Well, we are doing something that I would consider very, very fucking special today. Mm-hmm. And we are talking about a Britney Spears special that I think lives in a really weird place because it doesn't get talked about a lot. But I know that you'll get this as somebody who consumes a lot of media and works in media. Clips and videos and like moments from this special like live in like people use clips from this special all the time to signify like a happier peak moment in Britney's life.
150% for, you know, those of you guys who are Britney fans, who are, I guess we'll call them the Gen Z Britney fans. They're kind of they're kind of completely clueless to this special, because this special came out in 2000. So this is one for the OG Britney fans, and it's the OG Britney fans and the love that, you know, we have for it that kind of brought it to what you just said, like the clips that live on for generations. You know, we're the ones who remember how iconic it was, and we're like, okay, well, it's not, you know, it's a different world, you know, it's funny. So all this to say, it was like Britney live in Hawaii, right? Britney live in Hawaii. And at the time, it aired on Fox. Like, that's how, before it came out on video, before it came out anywhere, it aired on Fox. And for those of you guys who are too young to know what cable TV is, Fox is a network on television before streaming existed. Because nowadays you have Olivia Rodrigo on Disney Plus just kind of putting out her shit, and that's how it is. That's not how it was. So back then it aired on TV, and everything was a much bigger event. So this was a big event that was promoted, and she was on the cover of magazines promoting it. And this was just coming out around the time the Oops, I Did It Again single was coming out. So all this to say, for us, this was a big moment. And then it lived on later for years on VHS. So a lot of us older fans watched this VHS over and over and over, and we literally know it to the very T, to her facial expressions, to the way her lips move at the 37 minute 26 second mark. It's kind of like that. So it's legendary, and it doesn't get talked about enough, and I can't fucking wait to get into it.
So I wrote down the description of what it says on the box cover, and it says, Britney Spears Live and More gives you the many faces of Britney as a live performer, a fun-loving all-American teenage girl, and a powerful superstar, live from Waikiki Beach.
God, I have chills.
And it's a big deal. I mean, like you said, this is, you know, this was filmed in the year 2000. I think it came out like early 2001, and she's arguably like the most prominent figure in pop music at this moment. She just released this crazy follow-up album to a debut album that changed the entire music industry. And, you know, she's like in Guinness for how many records she sold at this point of Oops. So she's on top of the world. And not only that, but I'm pretty sure this is her first time performing in Hawaii. So, and it's a free concert, so everybody that lives in Waikiki is like, basically everybody is at this concert.
Yeah. And so for those of you guys who don't know, so the Britney Spears Live and More, which is what we're going to be talking about today, is the, I guess, the home video release of this concert that came out. This, I will never forget when I got this. Like, I'll never forget when
I was, tell me.
It was my 6th birthday, May 2nd, 2001. And I guess one of the gifts that I was getting from one of, I think it was one of my cousins, and they got me two VHS tapes, and one was, and they were both Britney Spears, because everyone just knew it was, it's Britney forever, like I'm talking since the womb, darling. And I got Britney Spears Star Baby Scrapbook. It was an unauthorized VHS, and it was like a picture of 1998 Britney with like bubbles in the background. They literally sold this at the stores, you guys. And the other one was Britney Spears Live and More. And what Live and More was so clips of this concert, which was from March 2000. It was from the Crazy 2K tour, but then interpolated with segments from her on Saturday Night Live and iconic moments from the Oops, I Did It Again era. And it kind of came out, like you said, early 2001. So around the time of Don't Let Me Be the Last to Know promo, when she was filming Crossroads, and they're like, okay, now we're going to put out some things to keep her name going. And what a magical time just in her career, because I kind of think that the Britney Spears Live and More tape is kind of like the end point of the Oops, I Did It Again era, actually, like the release of it.
I would say so too. It really signifies like it's a bookmark for this whole sort of period of her life, this major, major period where she had proven that she was like a not, basically not like a one hit wonder or like a one album wonder. And that,
well, 2000 is the year she turned to a superstar, right? Like that's the year where it turned from being a big star to being, oh wait, she's not going anywhere. So you know, this this whole entire release, I was gonna say tape, but they're not even gonna know what the hell we're talking about when we say tape. This release, it perfectly signifies the importance of her in this era, for sure.
Yeah, so I remember getting the, I remember getting this for whatever. It was like either a birthday or Christmas or whatever. My mom always just knew, like you said, it was like she would just buy me a bunch of Britney shit. Like, and I think she loved not having to really think about it too deeply. It was like, I'll just get them the calendar and the fucking backpack and all the tapes and all the things. And he'll just, I don't even know what it is, but I'll get it for him. And you know what I mean? I don't have to like think about anything else. And I remember getting this tape and I'll never forget. I mean, obviously I wore it the fuck out. I would listen to this or watch it every day, like perform the whole thing from beginning to end, you know, sweating up a fucking storm. And I remember learning how to rig my boombox. I was in like early middle school, like very, very early middle school. So it was like boombox era for me. And I remember like having a big ass stereo boombox in my bedroom from like Kmart or whatever and connecting it to my TV in some weird way to make it like blare. So I was like pretending that the concert was happening like in my bedroom, you know?
Listen, if I told you all the stories of me with the Britney Spears concerts, like, honey, I used to try to design my wardrobe in the closest way that I could to her. And I would have the concert playing in the basement so that I could run upstairs and do my costume change and run back down. You know what I mean? Like,
you're quick change.
Growing up gay.
It's a quick 5 minutes, quick change.
Yeah, exactly. We really do all have the same memories with these. It's so magical, to be honest. You don't really have that connection with the new girls. I don't see it. I don't see it. It's different with Stan Twitter and all that. It's not the same.
I also think it's important to point out that, so this tape, of course, you know, it's the year 2000. So this tape has to be internet themed, World Wide Web themed. So the whole sort of theme of this is that like it's supposed to look like you're on your desktop computer and you're on like a Britney website and like clicking links, and each link sends you to a portal that like opens up something, you know, exclusive about Britney. So, and I just remember thinking that it like looked so cool, like
the little mouse cool, baby. Moving.
It still looks
cool. And the magical sound it makes. Like, oh, I don't care. It's iconic.
The little mouse, it's like, wing, click.
Yeah, it's perfect. And the coloring, too. The coloring is perfect. And fun fact, on the Fox version of this, like the one that aired on Fox, it's not like, the buttons aren't blue. They're like a fiery orange. It's kind of different. Yeah. So it's festive. I love it. Fun.
And I love, so at the very beginning when it opens up, we see Britney walking through the giant crowd of people all of Waikiki, and you hear this fake news reporter come on, which I love. I'll never forget this.
Oh my god,
like, this is officially the biggest concert ever in Waikiki history.
Oh my god, so good. With final late news. And like, right. I really remember like the facial expressions of like the kids. Like, it's so fun. And she's walking through with that friggin', I want to say it's sparkly white. Is that the color, or am I colorblind?
You know, we're going to have a wardrobe conversation.
Okay.
We'll get there, trust me. Because I have so many things to say about the fucking wardrobe. Oh my god.
All this to say, she's looking great with the Oops, I Did It Again short hair from the early days of the era, and walking through kind of like a beetle.
Beetlemania. It's Beetlemania for sure.
It is like, Beetlemania for sure. And just getting ready to slay the lives of every five-year-old in Waikiki Beach.
Right. So it opens with what I would say is one of the most famous now performances of Crazy. I'm not sure why, but I just feel like these performances, especially Crazy and Baby, just get, like, I see them on the internet constantly.
Well, I mean, I feel like that Baby One More Time intro is so legendary. And remember the Baby, and so that intro comes from the Baby One More Time tour, and they kind of merged it into the Crazy 2K tour. But the Baby One More Time tour was never televised. Like, there's filmings of it and you can watch it. But I mean, at the time, like, it wasn't like it aired on TV. So you couldn't buy it on DVD. It wasn't a thing that people saw. So that intro is kind of like, when they think of that intro, people would relate it to this special because that's where everyone saw it growing up. And so I think that's why we see it so often. I don't think there's anything particularly great about the performance. Like, it's obviously fantastic, but right. It's not like it's like where she had like a snake. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing particular that made it exactly. stand out. It's just so good that it just stood out.
Right.
You know what I
yeah,
mean?
there's no big gimmicky kind of crazy yeah. moment yeah. or anything. It's just a simple, you know, performance of this song, but she's killing it, obviously.
Yeah.
And again, it's always used, that clip of her opening with her standing and her back facing the audience, like, that clip is used so often in conservatorship, I don't know, media, like,
well, that one and the one at the end, too, funny enough, there's the both of them. There's the one in the white yeah. outfit and then the one in the purple outfit. It's kind of funny how literally they just needed to find more moments from this special, because she also was so interactive with the audience at this oh era God. In her career. The mic was on, of course. And so oh, yeah. that's why, you know, she was so interactive with the audience, and they gave us so many great moments like this, because, you know, there would always be the, you know, the how you feeling and all that stuff. But,
right.
But even just like the facial expressions, and she, this is like 18-year-old fresh Britney. So she is like ready to be on that stage. And this is kind of like it got obviously better than this even more during the Dream Within a Dream tour. But like, this really feels like, okay, we're transitioning from just like a regular girl who performs. We're transitioning to superstar. Like, this is like next level stage presence. And funny enough, you know, I rewatched obviously this special before doing this episode, and I just watched the Grammys yesterday, and I was like, wow, where is the stage right. presence, you know? It's right. not there right. anymore. There's no one like this anymore. And that's why they keep, you know, these things live on for 22 years, because it's just that good.
It's that superstar thing that I don't think younger people know, because we don't really have superstars like this anymore. But like, that moment of somebody like a Michael Jackson coming out on stage and just being silent for like 2 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Janet, you know, still does me to this day.
Yeah. Like, you know, not many people can, like, and Britney is somebody who had reached that level of fame where she could walk out on stage and just stand there and smile, and people would literally be peeing, like convulsing in the yeah. fucking audience.
Well, stars don't shine that bright anymore. We know this, though.
Right. Yeah, and okay, so let's talk about, because I guess we could do it for each track, like once we get to each performance, we could talk about the styling, but I want to talk about the wardrobe for this opening, because I have a lot of things to say.
Okay, really? Okay, I'm interested to hear your thoughts before I get into this.
Okay, so for one thing, what I love about this period of Britney's performance pieces is that, you know, a few years later, like when you get to like 2001, 2002, I would say it starts to become very like DIY in a cool way, like the patches yeah. and the arm yeah. cuffs and all the shit. Like, it's just really cool and like absolutely. Handmade. At this period, things are like tailored specifically for Oops, because they had money, they had a budget, right?
Oh, things yeah, that budget was out of this world.
I mean, okay. The tailoring of these clothes on her body is absolutely fucking insanity.
Snatched.
Like, they're painted on, and like, she doesn't look uncomfortable. Everything is just so perfect. It's all so custom, intensely custom. So in the opening, she's wearing this like white crop top that's like, you can tell made for her, in these pants. And it's white, but it has like a pinkish, like bubblegum, or not, I would say like a cotton candy pink, like sort of glittery effect. And then yeah, there's a heart
very glitter, on her butt. Lots of glitter. Oh, the heart on her ass.
She looks so good. Her hair is flipped out in the most Y2K way ever. She's got those little gems that you used to put on your arms from like Claire's. Like, she just looks incredible. This is peak, like, Britney. I say this all the time, being like, you know, her wearing something on this tour is like, the next day, all of the malls across the entire country are like a little bit different.
This is like innocence, Britney. This is
yeah.
like sexy. Like, but they were making her more sexy in this time. If you notice, like you said, very tailored to her. So everything was very tight and everything was very fitted. And, you know, I even made some comments like, we'll get into this one outfit, but I'm just like, damn, her ass looks good.
I already know which one. I already know it's the dress. We'll get to it.
Oh my God, yes, it's the dress! It's the dress! I literally was like, damn, Britney. I was like, I was like, she's
awesome. I know.
Listen, I'm very gay, but to be honest, like, things were going through my head for a second. I'm like, okay, wow, like, really, really sexy. And it's kind of crazy that he was only 18.
I know. And then, so I also wanted to talk, now that we're like at the performance element of it, I wanted to talk about the dancing a little bit.
Oh God, yes. Where do I even start? Okay. What do you mean with
that? You know. I want to run a theory by you. And if you think I'm wrong, I want you to truthfully tell me. So I like to break Britney's dancing down into chapters in my head, the same way that you would with like an album.
Okay, right? Yeah.
Because she's had so many iterations of dance style, right?
Right.
And like in this specific era, this is what I refer to as Britney's athletic dancing period.
Oh, yeah.
Because in the next couple of years, you do see Britney become a better technical dancer, because she is nonstop dancing every fucking day for like 5 straight years. So she by the time she's doing in like Me Against the Music, she's like not human, right? She's like a Terminator dancer. But here, she's incredible, but it's more like it's coming from a place of gymnastics and being an athlete and like training. Like, she's dancing like a fucking athlete to me.
For sure. Oh, 100%. 100%. Her body is just proof of that. If you notice, like, the muscles and the strength. It's like, okay. But, you know, we know Britney was a gymnast when she was a young girl. So I feel like, especially the early days of dancing, like, the more that she danced, it was, like you said, very athletic. And then the more she did it, it became more technical. And then, obviously, Onyx Hotel peak, just dancing out of this freaking world. And then obviously we know what happened, but
right.
But for a while, like, yeah, definitely I can see that athletic peak right there. It's like a sport. It's the Michael Jackson school, the Janet Jackson school of dancing right there, you know, where it's not just I'm dancing to perform, it's a sport and I am an athlete. Like, it's work. Yes. And she looks fucking fantastic. And that's why she is so iconic. These little things like this, you know, they are kind of unmatched.
Yeah. And I'm so glad that you brought up the Michael Jackson School of Dance thing, because it's like there's an understanding and appreciation for the choreography of you have to hit every single thing really hard because it all means something. And like, that's the difference between somebody like Britney or like Madonna or Janet, who was raised dancing, versus someone who, as a pop star, is then told, well, now it's time for you to start dancing.
Like,
there's
Rihanna.
A different, like Rihanna.
Yeah.
Or even like Christina, who was like, well, I'm not a fucking dancer, but okay.
She definitely is not.
And then, just interrupt me when we get to the Fox stuff.
Yeah, of course. Okay. Yeah, I will. Don't worry.
So then we get this segment called Britney Gets Personal. So she's being interviewed with her former manager, Johnny Wright.
Who sued her in 2007, by the way.
Yes, like, we could do a whole episode about Johnny Wright, honestly.
Like, because, anyway, yes.
No, but say what you want. What did you want to say?
Well, no, I was just going to say with Johnny, it's so interesting to see how involved and how important he was at this point in her career and how fucking quickly he turned on her in her hour of need, to be very honest. So it was interesting for me to be watching this and see how he was a supportive one. But I digress. For me, the iconic part of this interview is obviously the coffee bean part, where they talk about how she has to have her coffee bean shipped over because she, quote unquote, loves coffee bean and it's hard to get it. And he's like, and it's not warm when it's back. So it becomes a problem. And then the way that the editors cut that shit, she's like, it's really crazy. And it makes you think that that's what she's talking about. Yo, you know that she was not talking about that.
I know.
That narrative that she was a diva. Because I remember reading the magazines at the time. I was like, Britney, the diva, has to have her coffee shipped over hundreds of thousands of miles because she'll only drink coffee bean. What I probably think happened was she's like, oh, I miss coffee bean. And they're like, you sure you don't want it? We can get it for you in 2 seconds. And she's like, oh, okay. And they did all these things and painted this narrative. They did this shit. And this is feeding into it, but it's kind of iconic at the same time.
It's just funny to see how they tried to edit that and to know her so well now, to know that she's like the complete opposite. Like, she's the furthest thing from, like, a, quote, diva. That's, like, so far from who Britney is. So it's just hilarious. Like, you know, and it speaks to the time. Like, we did live in a time where it was, like, we didn't have social media. Yeah. So being able to... Yeah, like, they controlled the narrative, and being able to speculate about the opulence of what it is to be a celebrity was so, you know, it was like this, like, curtain that we did not have access to peek behind back in the day.
A velvet rope, if you may.
If you will, for sure. But yeah, I was really, I forgot that Johnny Wright had a moment. And by the way, when he did turn his back on her, let's just make this clear. Not only did he turn his back, the motherfucker went and managed Justin during the release of Cry Me a River. Like, the man, like, he literally went and managed Justin's career and helped him promote an album talking shit about this girl that he basically helped raise.
You know that book's gonna be good. That's all I'm gonna say. That book is gonna be good.
And I also feel like, just to kind of add to the interview part of it, I know that this is a major part of any pop star's life as a public figure. You get asked, like, the same kind of questions all the time about what's it like to be a pop star. But I will say that I think in Britney's case, it's particularly during this time, it was really beat down our throats, her origin story, because the story was such a big part of the whole thing, right? The marketing.
Well, yeah. It's what made her the girl next door. It's what made her the likable one. If you think about it, you know, Christina, her upbringing was a little bit different. She had an abusive father. And if you think about her, Christina's debut era, did we really know where she came from? Nobody did, actually. It wasn't something that was talked about. It was only something that she explored when she made Stripped. And that's eventually when she gained, when people gained respect for her as an artist, because she put out that masterpiece. And that's because she finally got to dig into her soul. And kind of come out with that stuff. I feel like with Britney, it was kind of different, whereas her origins and her seeds, where she came from, was so important to her image. And the ironic thing is that really her family's a piece of shit.
Right.
But but even back then, her father was an absentee father. So it's interesting how they... how they really crafted into all of our minds how she has the most perfect family and she is such a family girl. And I'm sure she was, but it was also a huge part of her image in the sense of, like, she's from a small town of Kentwood, Louisiana, with 2,500 people. Even when she was in the Mickey Mouse Club, like, that was a big thing, like, that she's from a small town girl from Kentwood. Even when you read Jessica Simpson's book, the way that she talks about her, I just feel like that was a part of Britney's essence, because she was such a young girl. And she did come from that small town. But what we didn't know is that she had, you know, the issues in her family. Obviously, you know, skeletons eventually always come out of the closet. And we saw that, she was being mistreated for such a long time. But at that time, you know, we couldn't have been fed a more perfect picture, to be honest.
Right. And, like, her being this, like, fish out of water who just became this cultural phenomenon. But at the end of the day, like, you know, she's a normal, bubbly, sweet teenage girl. It made her so much more approachable.
100%. And,
like, you know, it made young girls not feel intimidated by how fucking beautiful and hot she was.
I was gonna say, because she's, like, next level gorgeous, like, just as, you know, especially as a young girl, it's like, oh my goodness, and, like, incredibly talented, but genuinely just so sweet and down to earth. But I think the thing is, she really is all those things. And I think that just the powers that be in the music marketing world, you know, just amplified it. But I really do feel that when anything that came from Britney, I really do feel actually was authentic, you know, like, I don't think that she was ever trying to be something she wasn't. All her outfits, I really do feel she wore things that she thought were cool. And, you know, you get a good feeling of that during this special, actually. That's why I love the special, actually, because of all the little skits in between, because, you know, that's how you get to see her personality. And that's kind of the first glimpse we all got to how she was outside of the videos, too, you know?
Yeah, and they also bring up another thing that they used to beat down our throats a lot. They bring up the touring aspect, and they make it a point to constantly talk about, you know, because Britney's tour people and her dancers were the closest thing that she had to any sort of camaraderie or, you know, companionship of people her own age. So they would make it seem like everything, basically they would use her dancers as a way to say she's fine. It's okay that she works this much. She has these dancers and they're on tour with her. And when they stop, like when we stop at places, they get to go to the mall and shit.
Those are her friends. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. They love shoving that narrative down everybody's throats.
Yeah. Like there's that one dancer. I don't remember her name. Was it Melissa or something? The blonde one, where she's like, you know, on our days off, we just like to go to the mall. And then she has like, you know, Brittany's talking about like Laura Lynn, and we see Laura Lynn there and that whole crew. And she's like, you know, like they're going to come up on tour with me and, you know, it's going to be really fun. Like it's going to be really great. We're going to go out all the time. Like, it's very interesting because you're so right. Because as a kid, that's totally what I thought it was. I thought like, oh, Brittany has all her friends and da 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 da, and it's so perfect. And oh God, like kind of insane. But yeah. I know.
Yeah. It's fine that she doesn't get days off because she gets to go to the mall. Do you see? She's at the mall with her friends. Everything's fine. And I think even for her, like it was a little bit of a like a convincing, like, no, this is fine. I'm having fun. I'm loving this. I do get to have normal moments. I'm going to shop for dolls. See?
I'm living my dream.
Right. So then we switch over to another performance. And this time she's doing Sometimes. Very, very, very good performance of Sometimes. Very chill. You know, I love her in this atmosphere, in this setting.
This is, the outdoor concert is always such a beautiful setting just for any... live taping, because you know you really feel like you're there. But something I loved about for Sometimes actually, the scenes of the little girls and the audience are kind of legendary. Like there's this one girl who's wearing like this halter top. Like these are all like girls like six or less. One girl wearing this like halter top that has like a bandana theme. And then during Sometimes, there's like the most adorable little blonde girl on like her parent's shoulder, like mouthing the words. And I'm just like, that's adorable. And so kind of great to see now as an adult, because I was one of those kids, you know, I was around that age too. When this special came out, I think it came out in like April 2000. So I'm May 95. I was 4 or 5 years old. I was literally that age. So it's so fun to watch. Like, look, it was all of us who were like so enamored and in love with Britney and these songs. And it's a beautiful feeling. And rewatching it now really kind of made me feel really warm inside. I was like, God, like, this is so great. Like, I really hope that my kids kind of have somebody like the Britney that I had, that they can just find that comfort in the music. And it was so beautiful to see the kids get that feeling. That's the one thing about the Sometimes performance from this special that stands out to me for sure. Aside from obviously, you know, just how beautiful she is in the great blue outfit, but
Oh yeah. Yesterday I was actually watching this. I was watching a reaction video of somebody listening to her Oops album, and they were like, I forgot like that Britney sang all these songs with such intense emotion, and she was so emotional singing these songs. And you can really, it's like, you know who didn't forget that is these fucking kids, us. Like that little girl on the shoulders, literally in her feelings, about to cry, like she just lost her fiance.
Yeah,
like I love that. Is like feeling it, you know what I mean? It's because Britney was feeling it, you know.
Yeah, it's amazing to see, and such a test to the time too, I think, because the reach was just so wide. It was so wide, and you see it in this special, and the songs are so timeless. Sometimes it's so timeless, you know. Watching any performance of it, I'm just like, God, I wanted to perform it again. Such a good
It's so sweet. It's such a sweet, just And again, you brought up the like blue bikini she's wearing. So obviously, you know, we're talking about this being filmed in Hawaii. And ironically, at the time, there was this really intense, I don't know if I would call it a resurgence, but there was a moment of like sort of Hawaiian, like surf wear being just like the true tease. Like everybody wanted to look like they had just put their board in the sand to come into class. You know what I mean? Like,
well, it was the height of Abercrombie and Fitch, of Abercrombie and Fitch. So speaking of like the Netflix special on Abercrombie and Fitch, can't wait to watch that when it comes out. So it was the height of that. And actually, I think it's the next song after this, but is the next song From the Bottom?
Yes.
Okay. So I don't know if we want to move on or not, but just to point out a fashion, the little boy that the boy that she brings up is totally wearing that surfer gear and has that surfer look. So just a testament to that point. 100% that was the main look at that time. Oh god.
Yeah. Oh yes. It was like you had to look like like either a surfer or a skater or like a preppy person who dabbled in one of those things. Mm-hmm. So Brittany's wearing this crocheted like blue bikini top that has these little gems hanging off the bottom of it. It fits her so perfect. She looks beautiful. Perfection. And this like tie-dyed sarong over her like bathing suit bottom and little flip-flops, and she's like so tan and oh my god, she just looks stunning.
Easy breezy beautiful. That's the best way to describe this look. Easy breezy beautiful cover girl. I don't think Britney was ever a cover girl, but she had the urge for herbal. So easy breezy beautiful herbal.
Oh my god. Yeah, and then we get the next segment is my favorite in the entire special. So we get to hang out with Britney in the dancers. And
Andre.
All right. We get to see Andre. Andre Fuentes, Britney's original choreographer / backup dancer / lifelong best friend.
May he rest in peace. May he rest in peace. Kind of sad to know that when he died, I'm sure she never even got the chance to say any type of respects because of the conservatorship. Mm-hmm. And probably didn't hear about it until a while after, because they were so close and he really brought out the best in her, especially in her dancing. And at this time when she was such a young girl and the dancers were her only friends, you know, he played such an important part in her life. And it's beautiful to see them together at this time for sure. I mean, we see him in a bunch of specials, like, you know, For the Record, he's in For the Record. He's in the Stages documentary because he went on the Dream Within a Dream tour. He's a very integral part of Britney's art for the first, you know, chunk of her career. And
yeah,
it's kind of a great piece of her. Of her musical puzzle, I guess is the best way to say it. Little scene here where they're doing this little dance because there's not much Oops, I Did It Again choreography, like behind the scenes clips, really, or like rehearsal clips as much as there is of the other songs, I don't find at least. So this one is one of the ones that we kind of get. And she looks great and she looks like she's having fun. She stubs her toe at that part.
She's so cute.
And she's so right. Cute. Yeah.
I think for a really long time, like, especially like you said earlier, like the OG Britney fans, and I've talked about this before, like you just sort of knew the machine. You knew everybody involved. You knew Felicia, you knew Larry.
Oh god,
you
know, yeah.
You knew Andre, you knew Manuela, like you just like knew Big Rob, like you just for 10 years it's like you knew her orbit. And yeah, it was so special to watch her relationship with Andre from the very beginning, you know, up until like For the Record when he's consoling her about her weird life. Like, you know, he really was such a major part of her life, and it's just horrifically sad that he's never gotten any sort of public anything. Like,
he really has never
nothing.
He's really like a Britney fan, like only the fans know who he is. Like, he has never gotten that recognition that he deserved at all. Hell, we're giving it to him right now. We love you, Andre.
Yeah, we love you, Andre, seriously. And it does make me really sad to think that, like you said, she probably didn't find out about it for a long time. And even if she did want to say something about it, like, she probably wasn't allowed to.
Yeah. It was happy to see. I enjoyed watching this again. It was like, oh, this is very cute.
Oh, so nostalgic. And we get this fun moment where she takes a little picture in front of a waterfall. And any Britney fan, especially Britney fans of a particular age, will remember that those pictures, her Hawaii photo shoot circulate. First of all, it was the calendar. Yep. It was the playing cards. These pictures
went around, honey.
Oh my it went around. God. Every Britney magazine, every teen magazine, like the Hawaii pictures were it.
Yeah, they were it. And she looked beautiful. And it's and that little, what do they call them? The things she put around her neck? What's the right word for it?
A lei.
Is that what they are? Yeah, she looked so beautiful in it. And And I loved her hair up and the little things that she was doing with her arms, and her hands on her chest. So cute.
Oh, my God. Crossing her little hands.
Yeah, this is a great segment. And with the little waterfall in the background. Yeah, magical. Magical photos. Very grateful that we have them to this day. God, she looked gorgeous.
And then the next segment, with Britney's backstage, and she's like telling the camera that they've pulled her biggest fan, or not her biggest fan, what do they call him? Like the biggest player? How do they refer to him?
The heartbreaker, the biggest
heartbreaker. The biggest heartbreaker. Mm. And then she goes up on stage and it's this fucking dork named Peter.
Like, you have to say it like him though. Peter.
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 He looks like a heartbreaker, right? No, he doesn't, Brittany.
No, babe.
No, he doesn't. Not to me, at least, honey.
She was like, so you're the ultimate heartbreaker. I was like, this is amazing.
Okay, but why haven't we? Listen, this performance hasn't even started, but there is already something that we have to talk about, okay? The fucking dress.
Baby, the dress.
This dress is insanity.
Just go for it. Say everything.
Okay, first of all, you know, we talked about body fitting, body tailor. Honey, nothing made her body look sexier than this fucking dress. It's literally just like a, what is it? Honestly, let's call it Mariah's pink yet lavender. That's what I'm going to call it. It is pink yet lavender dress that is... I guess it's a pretty tight fitting dress, and it's like definitely a short dress, but it has these rips, and those rips are right along the right side of her body, but obviously the left side if you're watching it. And my God, her ass in this dress looks insane. Oh, and her legs, it's like, talk about athletic, like, girl, the one of the hottest she's ever looked, in my opinion, hands down. I'm sure that heartbreaker, if he wasn't a little gay boy, was like, okay, just stay calm.
It's like the body that the BBL girls like want.
Yeah.
But it's like all muscle and just tone and thickness and just, it's like, and one of the things I've always found so interesting about Britney's wardrobe is that, you know, I don't think people understand like the magnitude of Britney's stomach and what it meant to a generation of people. The belly button ring, the abs, like it was, I always say that Britney's stomach was as integral to her career as like Michael Jackson's fedora or Madonna's mole and her gap or whatever.
Well, similar to Janet's.
Yes. Stomach,
right? I remember that Diane Sawyer interview in 2003 when she's like, those abs. Like those that was abs. It was a whole focus of the interview. 100% this dress. Well, really every outfit, let's be honest, because if it wasn't this dress, like her belly was showing, because if you have that belly, how are you not fucking showing it, honey? Okay. Like,
well, they always found, like, it reminds me a lot of, not to be too inside baseball about it, but it reminds me a lot of, like, a Marilyn Monroe kind of thing, because it's, like, it's imagery. Like, it's important imagery to always make sure that in some way her belly ring is incorporated into her look. Even if she's wearing a dress, they find a way to incorporate the imagery of Britney Spears into the look, and, like, that is so, it's like Marilyn Monroe's red lip is Britney's fucking belly ring.
And she, like, still wears it to this day, eh?
Yeah, she does.
I love it. I know.
She's like, I'm still going to wear low-rise jeans and my fucking belly ring, and I don't care.
An icon.
But yeah, this outfit is fucking unreal. I think about this dress all the time. She's also wearing heels on stage, which at the time was major for Britney.
Well, she kind of switched in and out, I noticed. There were some scenes where she was wearing her little running shoes that match, but there wasn't a lot of dancing for this, right? Like, this was from the bottom of my broken heart, so she was going to be singing live, and there wasn't going to be any playback, so this is when she could have worn heels, and God, did she just look gorgeous, and she performs for the little boy, he's like 19, like, what am I saying, little boy? But she performs for him. Tanya takes that picture out of that little Polaroid type camera, like pulls it out. And they have like a great moment. There's a scene where like there's a face that she makes, like, how was I to know I missed you so? And then she does something with like her lip that goes like really close together, and like you could just see the sparkle in her lip gloss. I don't understand why that's important to me. Don't ask me, but I just remember as a kid thinking, wow, she looks gorgeous here.
Listen, nothing that you say right now is gonna sound insane. I also want to bring up the fact that there's a moment where when she says the she's like talking to Peter, but it's time to start the song, and he's like a dumb idiot. Like he's like
so stupid.
He's like trying to fucking small talk her on stage as she's like about to miss her cue, and she goes okay. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh god,
yes. He's like, babe, shut the fuck up, okay? I'm doing this one live.
Literally, like, this is going on TV. A professional at all times, you know, always knows how to keep the show going. God bless our girl. Another thing that comes around right after this performance, unless you had anything else to say about this performance.
No, go ahead.
In this outfit, right after she does this performance, he's off the stage, she then introduces a up-and-coming girl group to the audience. They go by the name of Destiny's Child. Maybe you've heard of them. I think you've heard of one of the members. Her name is Beyonce. Underground artist. Underground artist. No Grammys.
SoundCloud girl.
SoundCloud girl, Beyonce. And it is the Beyonce show, let me tell you. This, you know, because when the TV special came out, it was around April 2000. So Say My Name was number one. So they were like, okay, who are we going to get to open for Britney? Oh, who's number one? That'll be who opens for Britney. Because that's how iconic Britney was. Whoever was number one would be who opened. And it was Destiny's Child to Say My Name with Michelle Williams and Farrah Franklin in one of their first performances as a new foursome in Hawaii, wearing all green. It is the Beyonce show, Troy, by the way. It is the Beyonce show. The other girls don't even have their mics on, lip syncing the noisy nothing to my thing. Like they're just lip syncing that background, and then like the camera's on Beyonce the whole time. And the audience is loving it, but that's just to show you guys that national television, Destiny's Child was the opener for Britney. Beyonce was the opener. She was the opening act.
It really does. It paints the picture of like the magnitude of how famous she was, that Britney was already at a place of breaking a Guinness record when Beyonce was pursuing fame.
This is like when they were really coming up, Destiny's Child. Like this was their moment. They were coming up.
I don't think people understand, especially I get it, because younger people weren't there for the transition from Destiny's Child to Beyonce as a solo artist, but like it took Beyonce a long time. Like she was in a band. Like I don't think younger people understand like that Destiny's Child was like, it wasn't just like a little tiny thing that she did. Like
a main artist.
Yeah, like that was her gig. Like and when she did become solo, she really had to like prove herself. And like by that time, Britney was already taking over the world. So like it just kind of paints a picture of like how fucking famous this girl was.
Yeah, I think Britney was just huge off the gate, to be honest. Mm-hmm. And I think that Beyonce kind of had to fight for a very long time, because even when she made it huge as Beyonce, she was still not being taken seriously.
Right.
For Beyonce, it only really happened after she had Blue Ivy and after she did the Super Bowl. Like that's when it became where she's God. But you know, for many years, you know, Beyonce was playing second fiddle, and it was Destiny's Child really, but they were obviously putting Beyonce in the forefront. They only started really giving parts to Michelle and Kelly when Farrah left the group. To be honest, so this special is a perfect example of that. And yeah, and they perform Say My Name, and they have a little segment, and it's just festive for that reason, to be like, okay, like this is like like Destiny's Child was the openers for Britney. So yeah, interesting tidbit about the special as well.
And is this where we get the SNL clips?
Yeah, well, they're kind of interpolated throughout. So the first one that they do is the one where like they put her monologue, like her little monologue with the boobs.
Yeah.
And because everyone was talking about her boobs. And then they kind of cut to the scene where she is with, was it Woodrow, the garbage guy?
Yes. Take a doo-doo pie.
Yeah, take a doo-doo pie. And that's the first one that air that they put. Well, we could just talk about all the SNL ones now if you want. Like, there's the three main ones that they show throughout this special. Because Britney also hosted SNL. So when they kind of put out the Live and More special, they just kind of took like a few highlights from it. And so there was that one. And then there was another one where she is auditioning dancers for her tour.
Oh my God.
There's like that scene where they're playing it crazy. They're like, spin, 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 spin.
Yeah.
And doing the spin. And then my favorite SNL skit, the morning latte.
I mean, it's so iconic.
I don't even know where to start with that. to be honest, it's so
fucking good. And Sherry O'Terry, they like write Sherry losing her voice into the skit, so she has laryngitis. She's like, it's hot.
So good. It's really hot in here. And they kind of keep doing that throughout the entire segment.
Yeah, it's hot. It's so good. Britney, it was so fucking good on SNL.
She rocked it. And this was the first of two times that she hosted and performed. Yeah. I would love if when she puts out the book and does promo for it, if she did SNL again. I don't know if she ever would, but I would love to see it.
Could you imagine? I also love in that the skit where she's auditioning, she's wearing these like, I'll never forget the pants.
The low rise, super fitted, but kind of had a cuff at the end of the boot, made her ass look great. Like, oh God.
They're just like skin tight to her body. They're just like cheetah print. And they look like Lisa Frank. They're like Lisa Frank pants.
Lisa Frank.
I'm so fucking old. Lisa Frank was like in the 90s, it was like this like style of like school supplies that had like dolphins and leopard print and cheetah and glitter and things. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Okay. I can see it.
Yeah.
Oh God. Well, the era, right? God bless her. She won't let it die either. Like she is still wearing those pants. She's still wearing that style. And she's still rocking it, if you ask me, to be honest.
Killing it. But then we get, I guess you could say that this is like for Britney fans, maybe one of the most iconic moments of this entire little special, when she drives her convertible to this girl's house and she tells the camera, you know, I have this fan, she's my number one fan, we have the same birthday, she's from Louisiana and she writes me letters all the time, so I know where she lives and I'm gonna go visit her. And she goes and knocks on this girl's door and like changes
her life.
Like, I wonder what this girl's life experience has been like, because every Britney fan has fantasized about being her at one point.
So have we, just before we get into it, have we seen like where she is now? Have we ever seen her again?
I've never seen her again. If anybody
I
has,
never have out. Either. Okay, so Britney Army, if that's what we still call ourselves.
Yeah.
All of you psychotic fans who are on Twitter and always finding issues with every little thing that Sam posts, take your sleuthing skills to find us this girl, please. And I want to know where the little boy is that she meets, where she says, can you call me when you're older? Because I think it was Sam Asghari, but that's my opinion.
the fact that they haven't like come forward or like been like, hi. Like,
how have they not? Unless they're just like one of those people that just aren't on social media. Like, you never know. There's so many people in this world, right? So you just have no idea. But such a great part, you know, like if Britney Spears ever came to my door as a kid and like invite all your friends, like that's like the dream right there. Like, come on.
It's great too, because when she opens the door, when Britney knocks on the door and the girl opens it, she doesn't initially realize that Britney knocked on the door. So she's like looking at the camera crew and she's like, what the fuck is going on? And then it's like, she looks up and Britney is like a foot away from her face. And I just, And then she does, like, it's cute too, because she does all of the things that you would do as, like, an insecure weird kid. Like, she starts, like, contorting her fingers, yeah, and like scratching her eyelid, and it doesn't really itch, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, just, yeah, being awkward, because she's like, I'm talking to Britney Spears right now.
I know those. Oh, I know those. How old am I? I would still do that shit.
Me too. I was like, girl, you're handling this beautifully, to be honest.
Yeah, and such a great moment. Again, Britney's with her girls. Notice how she's always with her girls when she's doing all these things. Like, that's, mm-hmm, really what they're painting, like, Britney having fun with her girls. But so fun, you know, Britney interacted with so many different just people in Hawaii. That's something I loved about this special. You know, there was this,
yeah,
where she's, like, dancing the hula, and there's, like, all the kids, and there's, obviously, we're gonna get to it later, the scene where she's in the high school. But all this to say is, like, it was fun to see her kind of get into the culture as well, and not just come here to do this free concert. It was a great, whoever wrote the treatment for this special, like, good job, guys, because this is some good shit. Like, you know, it's different. That's why it was fun, you know. It wasn't your average concert special. Like, how fun to watch her go surprise some fans and invite all the friends in the neighborhood. There's a scene where they're, like, coming up to, like, the fence, and it kind of looks like the kids are dogs. I'm not kidding. It's like,
you're completely right, though. It's such a great, like, it's so fun to experience Hawaii, like, through her. And, like, it really feels like she is out, like, just doing all of this fun stuff, and they're just, like, filming it. Yeah. But she tells this girl to, like, call her friends over because they're going to have a pizza party. And of course they have, like, a Pizza Hut pizza party at the house.
Oh, iconic.
You know, iconic. What else would it be? I also love when the kids come over and they're like, they're kids. Like, it's so awkward. Britney's, like, talking to this girl. The girl can't make eye contact. So she's standing
down
the hallway. She's looking down her hall as Britney Spears asks her, you know, general questions, and all the other kids are just standing with their pizza in their hands, staring at Britney, like, mouth breathing.
I know, it's the funniest thing about Britney. In the moment was probably just like, oh god, like,
get me the fuck out of here so I can go get drunk on the beach.
I just want to go on the beach, you know, but I want to go by myself. You know, it's too obvious if there's too many security guards at me. I just want to, you know, and a couple of kids come up to me, but then I'm just like, oh, are you Britney? No, I'm not that girl.
I don't know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, yeah, we get the infamous moment with the little boy that we all truly believe is Sam. I want a blood test done.
Me too, baby.
And she's so cute talking to this kid. I was like, oh, you're going to have a little boy one day and you don't know yet. Ah.
And then she had two. Yeah,
I know. She's so cute when she picks him up. Oh, my God.
Yeah, and you could always tell Britney's always loved kids. Like, Britney and her connection to children, like, she's just such a sweet soul, and the mother in her is just so natural, and the caretaker in her. And yeah, you see it from this little early age, just like this little kid, the way she's just so enamored with him, and such a cute moment. And will you call me when you're older? Britney, he did.
Yeah. You're right. She is so motherly to be 18. She's, like, so nurturing. It's just so cute.
Yeah, it's beautiful to witness, to be honest. And also, like, we haven't even talked about this yet, but she's even rocking it in this scene, the friggin' glitter on the arm. Like, mm-hmm, I, like, so love it. Like, I want to say that it was literally just, like, glued on glitter. Like, I don't even know what was. It was a beautiful design, and she just wore it in every single scene in the special.
They used to sell them as, like, they would sell them in the package as the design.
Well, yeah, that was, like, the Claire's version. That's not what Britney had.
Listen, Britney is a mall girl. You never know. Britney loves,
you know,
the
what
you're mall.
Kind of, you know what? I actually think you're right. Never mind. I actually take that back, because Britney is that girl that would have gone to Target and gotten it.
She's like,
and
it's from Sears.
Yeah, like, oh my god. Guys, Sears. legendary. She looked another great piece of the puzzle of this era is that glitter look that she's rocking in this scene and in every other scene in the special, actually.
Yeah, it's very indicative of the time. I would really love for that to come back, like the like glitter adornments, like, on your arm. I think that's, like, so, like, I'm surprised that hasn't come back, actually.
Well, everything else has at this point, so, like, I'm waiting for that too.
Right. And then we get a really sweet moment with Brittany, Courtney, Jansen, and Laurelyn, who, like, again, these names just roll off the tongue because the orbit was always the same. Like, we know, like, how many times have you said the name Laurelyn? Probably a million.
Oh. Oh, 9 million times. If it wasn't from a special, it was from one of the books. It was from one of the forwards that she wrote. It was from the chaotic show. Mm-hmm. Laurelyn has been a concrete piece of Brittany's life for so many years. Kind of why it makes me sad to be watching kind of what Brittany's talking about now and how she's upset at everyone. You know, the friends that she's talking about are, you know, these girls. And it makes me sad to see because, you know, I know that they're more than just friends. They are a literal family. And her aunt Sandra, Laurelyn's mother, was so important to Brittany too. You know, they were in this time, they were always there. They were always there any chance that they could. And they made sure to get it on camera.
Brittany always describes that they went to daycare together. They went to preschool together. They grew up together. Like, they're like her sisters. And, yeah, it does make me really sad. Like, that was a tough one. And Courtney, I remember seeing her. She had done a lot of, like, interviews during Britney's, like, darker period. Like, she had, like, talked a lot during that time.
Especially to, like, the British tabloids and the British
movies
that were being made. But she never said anything bad. Like, she kind of... Maybe she probably thought in her head it would be like, we need to have a positive voice for Brittany. And, you know, she definitely wasn't saying anything bad. But, like, yeah, she was talking at that time. And I'm very curious to know what Brittany thinks about it. Sure.
Right.
She'll talk about it in the book.
I'm sure we'll find out. Maybe later this evening. We will.
The good mysterious book is coming.
But, yeah, so they filmed this really cute segment where they, like, what was it called? Hang gliding?
I guess so. But they're hanging in the air, so let's just call it that.
Okay, yeah, something, you know, that thing that people do on vacation when they, like, are tied to a boat on, like, a rope, and then they're on a parachute and the thing drops them into the water, and they did that. Parasailing? I don't fucking know.
I don't know. I'm scared of heights, so I would never even, like, try anything of that nature, so I wouldn't know the name. But she looked great doing it.
She was being adorable too. She was like super cute. And then we get one of my favorite performances of Born to Make You Happy, I think, of her entire career.
Come on, baby, do the tango. Do the tango.
Oh my god. So good.
I don't know what I like better, the bandana top, the dancing, the tango remix, or just the fact that Born to Make You Happy is my favorite Britney Spears song.
Oh my god, I didn't know that.
It is my favorite Britney Spears song. I understand that's a very tough question, and it's interesting because you know, if somebody were to ask me what the best song of all time was, I would say Baby One More Time by Britney Spears, but yet I'm saying Born to Make You Happy is my favorite Britney Spears song. How does that make sense?
I think it makes complete sense.
Yeah, thank you. Well, that's because we're the same.
Right.
But to those of you who don't get it, it's because when you say best song of all time, you're thinking of more than just the song. You're thinking of the impact. You're thinking of the video. You're thinking of culture. You're thinking of just the importance.
Right.
Whereas if I'm just taking my favorite Britney song, genuinely, I really just the melody and the actual song, it really is my favorite. I love it so much. Maybe because of the nostalgia attached to it, it is one of the four songs. Obviously, it was from her first album. I was only 4 years old, so it's in the group of the first songs I learned, that whole album, right? So just how much I loved it then. I'm 26, turning 27 this year, and I still love it the same. And it's just like the perfect pop song, and it's written beautifully too. So I don't know, I love it. And I think she did a great performance of this. It's my second favorite Born to Make You Happy though, because nothing will ever beat The Music Box at Dream Within a Dream.
Oh wow. Okay, yeah, you're right. You're completely right. Ooh, I just got goosebumps. I literally got goosebumps. Oh my god, Jesus. This is like, and we're so lucky to get a live vocal. She sounds amazing.
The mic was on.
The mic was on, honey. It was hot. Yeah. And she looked incredible. Yeah, she was wearing this like really cool tube top. And I really liked her like cargo pants. She's wearing
I loved them.
Right? They looked really cool. Like she just looked like such a dancer during this whole moment. But yeah, that was like such a great performance. Yeah, the little salsa moment is so random and fun. And, you know, it was like always fun back in the day when they would try and find random times to just allow Britney to to show how great of a dancer she was. Yeah. It's like, oh, let's give her another dance break right here.
But it translated so well on stage. Like it really did fit well. And you would never think to add a little tango salsa remix into Born to Make You Happy of all songs, but they did it and they did it well and it was so fun.
We then transition into nighttime. This is Britney's night moment at the beach, and she's hanging out with her friends and the dancers, and they're watching hula dancers and they're watching a fire show. They're getting the sort of tourist Hawaii experience that you get when you are a tourist in Hawaii. And she's like living. She's having so much fun.
Living it. I'm living for her outfit, like the kind of blue floral, like two-piece. And, you know, the way that she bobs her head to like the music when those like hula and like the way she moves her head, it's like I can just picture it in my head right now. It's just so I'm doing it right now. That sound and that face, like it just awoke so many memories when I was rewatching it. And the fire guy, to be honest, that made me a little uncomfortable, that fire guy.
Me too.
How we did that.
I was like, I don't like this. I don't like things like that.
Me neither, because I'm scared of heights, so I don't like seeing people like falling off buildings and all that stuff. But even on that, it's like it's just like I can feel it. So I don't know how we did that, but you know, Britney herself was also wowed, looking stunning as ever, and every little facial expression that she did.
Oh my God. She was having so much fun. And I was thinking, like, this is so crazy because Hawaii is obviously a place that has become so, you know, important to her and like a place she loves to visit, Hawaii. And
Maui now is her number one
I was like, I wonder if she thinks about this, you know, her memories of this time when she goes to Hawaii again, you know?
This must have been her first time there, right?
I think it was.
Yeah, and now 22 years later, literally she goes 4, 5, 6 times a year, like the term being vacation spot. And so I think I can see why. She looked like she was just having so much fun, and even just like the little moments here, not just on stage. And who knows, with all the hard things that have happened in her life, I'm sure it was a place of refuge for her as well.
I'm going to run another theory by you. And it's not even really a theory. I'm just going to say something I think people may deem as controversial.
Oh.
Okay. So then the next scene, we get a I would say, pretty famous performance of Don't Let Me Be the Last to Know, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And very famous. Like, I think if you YouTube Don't Let Me Be the Last to Know live, this is probably like the first one that would come up.
Right.
And she sounds great.
Yeah.
But as an adult, it almost makes me sad to hear Britney on stage when she performs live, like this song, for example. If they just had allowed it to be a fucking octave lower.
Yeah.
Like she's straining her beautiful voice.
Yep. Oh, you know what? It is so funny that you say that, because if you remember in Dream Within a Dream, when she did Don't Let Me Be the Last to Know and she did it live, she actually did it pretty low, like very, very low. So when I was watching this and she's singing, I was like, oh my God, wait, she's singing it in a higher octave than usual. Like, because I rewatched Dream Within a Dream live in Las Vegas like all the time. I haven't rewatched this live in Hawaii special in years before
today. Right.
So I had forgotten that she used to sing it in this key. And I'm just like, wow, like she really was like, that was not the natural way for her to be singing. No. Like these keys that we, especially I think Oops era was probably the prime. Oops and Britney era were the prime of her singing. I mean, I'm not going to count Britney Jean, obviously, because that wasn't her singing.
Right. Literally.
But like, if you like, even like in the zone, like whatever, even even in Glory, like, I don't know.
No, I think you're right. I think the Britney album is peak Mickey, like Minnie Mouse.
Yeah, not but
the intense introduction of it.
All this to say, maybe this is a better way of putting it. My apologies. The Baby album had Deep Voice Me all over it. Like, yes, all over it. The Oops album, you hear a lot more of the baby voice because that was the voice on Baby One More Time, the song, and they realized that's what worked. So even for the ballads, like, she was doing it. Even Where Are You Now? Like, I love Where Are You Now? And she sounds beautiful and is literally my favorite song in the world. But she's doing, like, vocals, but baby voice kind of vocals. Because the calling out your name, like, it's very, it still has, like, to it. It's not like the, yes. Here we go now.
Yes.
It's not as deep voice-y. So this live performance of Don't Let Me Be the Last to Know is, like, noticeable to me because in other live performances of this, she does go lower. But here, she didn't. She was trying to keep that baby voice going. Mm-hmm. And it strained her voice for sure. And now, I mean, we don't really know what her voice sounds like anymore. We had that one clip.
Right. It's just fucked up because underneath the streaming, you can hear
It's there.
This beautiful there. Tone. And it's like, oh my God, like, how did these adults allow this to happen? Like,
money's all people care about. Money is the root of all evil.
It makes no sense to me. Like, this is a girl who naturally is a fucking belter. She's a Broadway trained singer. She wants to fucking belt and give theatrics. Yep. You know what I mean? And it's just sad. Like, she sounds great, but she's straining because she
it's not the real her
there. Yeah.
It's not the real her. Like you said, she sounded great, but no, it's not her real voice. And you can hear it. She's struggling, unfortunately, in this performance. But, you know, listen, she looks great and still sounds great doing it. So, you know, I'm okay with it, but I do wish that she was given that chance to sing the way her actual voice sings, because there's nothing wrong with it, and in fact it's beautiful.
We do get a really peak Britney moment at the very end where she's like doing all the
oh my God. Thank you so much. Thank you, Hawaii. Oh my gosh, y'all are so sweet.
I used to fucking rewind that all the time to try and match the riffs, you know?
Listen, Riffney was here for this performance. I think the next performance is a song where there's like a little riff that she does too. I'll point it out if I'm right, but like, all this to say is like, yeah, there's a bunch of signature riffs from the special, and is definitely one of them. Don't let me be the last.
Oh my God. And then we get another very quick interview moment that I thought was actually a little prolific, because she talks about, first of all, it's her and Big Rob, and
who I have to point out, you guys, so I used to work in a club, okay? I used to work at this club called Rebel Nightclub. It's a club in Toronto. I was a busboy. But all this to say is that my general manager, who actually was a family friend who got me the job, she knows to this day, still knows Big Rob. And I think he works, I don't know if he works with Justin Timberlake now, but he was for a while. He was doing Jonas Brothers, but apparently... Yeah. Always talks about how much he still loves Britney to this day.
Oh, I can't hear that. I would have fucking cried.
And he is just as much the velvet teddy bear in real life as we all thought he was. So yeah, I thought that people would like to know that. He literally is that sweet velvet teddy bear that we saw. He is that person, and he never changed. So that's, I thought, yeah. Good moment. I would love to see them reunite one day, for sure.
Me too. I would literally pay for it. I was like, Rob, I'll buy your plane ticket.
I know.
Please go to Maui.
I'll join you, baby. I will join you. I'll pay that plane ticket. Come, please prepare. I mean, please protect Brittany.
I'm like, all I need is the address. Thanks.
All I need is the address.
Where you heading in Maui, Rob? Let me know, huh? Where's the drop-off point? But no, so she's talking about, like, you know, how she goes to the beach and she doesn't like to bring bodyguards because it makes her stand out and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, it's interesting to see Brittany talk so lax about how easy it is for her to blend in. And, like, you know, she goes out and people don't really bother her. You know, she just throws on a wig and some sunglasses and everything's fine. And a couple girls come up and ask if I'm Britney Spears. And I just say, no, I'm not that girl. And I go on about my day. Like, she's just so naive, you know?
Well, she was a young girl. She was 18. Her second album wasn't even out yet. Oops, wasn't even out yet. So think of it as this is like Olivia Rodrigo at this exact point in where Olivia Rodrigo is in her career. That's what Britney was in this special. She is still so fresh. She is, you know, she's still a huge star, but it's all still so new to her. And, you know, I think Britney said the saying once, you know, you see everything through these little glasses and everything is so perfect. That's what this was. These little interviews, this whole time, it was Britney thinking, I'm still a normal girl. I still can't be a normal girl. You know,
yeah.
The honeymoon wasn't over yet. Let's put it that way, right? So
that is then followed up by one of my favorite deep cut tracks from Baby One More Time. I think one of the most underrated Britney covers, The Beat Goes On.
Yeah.
And I fucking love the wackiness and the weirdness of this performance. And by the way, she gets to sing in her octave. Her little head wiggle.
Oh god, I thought I'd give you guys a little taste of Cher. That's all right, god. As if anyone in the audience knew who the fuck Cher was, like they're all 5 years old.
I know,
as a kid, I had no idea that this song was a cover. I thought this was Britney's song.
Oh, neither did I, for sure. I was like,
when I was older. And I remember always thinking, what is this Cher thing she's talking about? Like, I only realized now, like, I obviously knew the song Believe, but I was so young that I didn't know it was sung by Cher. Like, it was just the song Believe.
Right.
I only realized when I was a little older, like maybe 9 or 10 years old and not 5 or 6, which is when this tape came out. I was like, oh, it's a cover. Yeah.
Pretty. And where are those silly dancers? Oh, and then we get a little British knee.
British knee has been coming out since day one, you guys. That's why when everyone says she's acting so weird, shut the fuck up. She has always been this way and always done this. Watch this special. Thank you. British knee literally comes out here. I'm so happy you said that. Gosh.
She's a fucking goofball and people just don't get it. And it's like so sad to have watched that get turned against her, like just like her silliness. Oh, but yeah, you can tell that she's having a fucking blast performing this song because it's in her octave and she can do all the things. She can dance and move around and command the stage and run back and forth and still sing live because it's in her octave.
Exactly. Like, because she's singing in her voice the way
it's
supposed to be. And also, like, the outfit, the heart on the ass coming back.
Oh my god. Oh my god, this outfit, Michael.
I know.
Like, oh my god. Even the silly hat. I'm like, this is so fucking fun.
It's theatrical. Like, she's doing Cher, The Beat Goes On. So she's like, she's performing. And like, especially because like, the last time she had done The Beat Goes On a televised performance.
Oh god.
That's the world. With her fucking Party Mania wig. Or Party City, whatever the hell it's called.
Oh my god. And she's like literally
synthetic hair. Like,
she doesn't move a single part of her body the entire, she's so stiff and uncomfortable.
Yeah, and that was literally not even a year later, and then she gave us this masterpiece. So whenever anyone looks at The Beat Goes On, make sure it's live in Hawaii and not
for
the 1999 World Musical Award.
Yeah. This is the premiere performance of The Beat Goes On, a song that gets no credit, no love. People love putting this on their worst Britney song list. And I'm just like, I do not understand it. I don't get it.
And you know what? Justice for The Beat Goes On, because I'm sure you guys may not know this, but the Britney Spears Live in Las Vegas special was supposed to have a scene where she performs the Beatles on with Cher, and Cher was supposed to come on the special for HBO, and last minute it all fell apart and it didn't happen.
Because that was like John Voight is on the fucking special. Like, it was like,
exactly,
you know, that would have made complete sense.
And that was around the time of Cher when she was about to come out with her farewell tour. Remember the first of her 50 farewell tours?
Yeah.
And so HBO, she had like a whole deal with them. So she was going to be, you know, like a special guest with Britney, and they were going to do The Beat Goes On. So I'm so mad about that, because if you really think about it, this particular performance of The Beat Goes On from this special, it really is the last time she ever performed it. She's never performed it live in any of her other shows since then. I don't even think she did it on the Oops tour.
It makes me so sad. I've always said that if Britney did do another like live whatever, I would love for her to just do deep cuts from every album that she just loves.
Please.
Random songs.
I don't want a single hit. Not one. Mm-hmm. Not one. No. I want just the deep cuts. That is enough. Mm-hmm. If I ever saw her do Cinderella live, which she's never done, like, you may as well just get out my fucking casket and get my fucking tombstone, because I will die.
Is that the one? Is that the one? Like, if there was one Britney song that she's never done live that you would want to see?
100,000%. Not even a question in my mind. It would be Cinderella. Because next up, Born to Make You Happy and probably Overprotected, Cinderella is my favorite, another one of my all-time favorites.
Cinderella is great. I think mine would be That's Where You Take Me.
Love. Honestly, it's really not fair to rank the Britney album. We're not even going to go there. I can't even get started on that. But yeah, Justice for the Beat Goes On. I love the song. So all you fucking haters listening to this, I don't care. The Beat Goes On rocks, okay?
Yeah, agreed. And then we get a very quick little segment of Britney swimming with the dolphins.
It's so funny. I'm sorry to get all Peace Corps on you guys, but would that really be acceptable today? Because now that we know so much of everything that goes on with SeaWorld and all that stuff, that wouldn't be acceptable today, right? Because
I thought about that a lot.
Because the way that they're like going over the circle, I'm so sorry, I don't know what it's called, but it's like where they breathe, right? Like it's
blowhole.
Or their blowhole. Oh God, my mind went so many places.
I'm like, when their little glory hole.
Oh God! But like the way they're like covering it and playing with it, and like that's where they breathe. I'm like, oh my God! Obviously, Britney doesn't know, but like that was standard practice back then. So I really thought about that, because I'm like, because this was televised on television. What this wouldn't have been able to be on TV now, would it? No.
No, I think even if they were allowed to film it, I think like the fear of people's outrage, would be enough for them to be like, no way. Yeah, because like this is so, I thought about that a lot, because like, wow, this is so early 2000s to like have no inkling that these animals are not happy.
Yeah, zero inkling. Like, I think that, to be honest, it really is unfortunately a recent thing, because I really think that only as of recent times is SeaWorld finally starting to get some type of like reprimand for the way they treat their animals.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, this was a very popular thing, and it was just a completely normal thing. And it's so funny to see how 22 years later, if this exact special was broadcast as a new artist, they probably wouldn't have been as, they would have found an issue with this. I really do think that this scene would have found an issue with the whole dolphin thing. I do.
I will tell you, listeners, that Britney wastes no time lowering the inhibitions of this dolphin. He very quickly falls in love with Britney. Before we know it, he's showing his belly, he's expecting tickles, like he's really living cute for her gig. they really bonded. It was super cute.
It was really cute. And I don't know if I'm gonna look at it through the eyes of like as a kid watching this and just being like, oh, the dolphin just loves Britney, because who wouldn't love Britney's touch?
Right. And then she goes to a school, and this is another moment that I think all Britney fans have like fantasized about, like being like, oh my God, could you imagine Britney just walking into your classroom?
I just wanted to point out right before this scene is when she actually goes to see Joe.
Okay. Yes. Tell me. Okay. Yeah. Just so you guys know. So there are two versions of this. There's the Fox version, yes, and then there's the VHS version. And I watched the VHS version. Michael watched the Fox version, and I had some things that were cut out. So I want to hear this.
Yeah, so there is a scene, and this is towards the end. So this is right before the high school scene. And Brittany's with her girls, you know, the little computer thing goes like, and then it goes back to Brittany hanging out with her girls. And they're driving in the car, Brittany's driving, and they're jamming to Joe's new album. Mm-hmm. And then they go to this like lounge outdoor concert thing, and Joe is singing his hit song, I Wanna Know. And for all of you guys who aren't R&B fans, I Wanna Know was a huge hit in the year 2000, just similar how to the special also included Destiny's Child performing Say My Name. Well, they also had a scene with Joe because they were like, okay, who are like the hottest acts? I think I Wanna Know was like number two on Billboard at this time. It was like a big hit, and he's performing, and Britney's there with her girls. And then there's a scene where Joe comes into the audience and he performs to Britney, and the lyrics are very lovely. They're like, tell me what I gotta do to please you. And like, as he's singing that part, he like touches Britney's hand and he's like singing to her, and she like looks up, and I'm just like, oh wow, so beautiful. And you know, really, I think that Joe was just on Jive Records, and so that's how they got him on the special.
Totally.
But I mean, like, I love Joe and I love this song, so it's just a fun moment and label mates having some fun. And yeah, and she's there with her girls and they're having a good time at the concert. And yeah, and then it cuts to this next amazing scene at the high school that Troy is going to tell us a little bit about, I think.
Yes. So she's at this high school and she walks into the classroom, and it's so funny because it's like, obviously the kids were like prompted that Britney Spears was like maybe like, because there's cameras in there, inside the classroom.
Yeah.
And they're all just like, kids are so, it's so funny to put like middle school age kids just like on camera because they're so uncomfortable and so awkward and they have no presence. So they're all just like staring at her blankly and like being really weird and looking at each other. And then finally they're like prompted to ask some questions. And of course they're like, you know, J14 questions. Like, do you get stage fright on stage? You know,
You have a boyfriend?
And they're all like, they all think it's like the funniest thing ever.
You're gonna stay for lunch.
Like, oh, that's the class clown, clocked him. And then Brittany's like, she gives her like her dare speech at the end. She's like, well, y'all stay in school and I want y'all not to drugs and I want y'all to get good grades and love y'all's parents, okay? Now y'all come give me a hug.
Y'all give me a group hug, but first let me give me a group hug.
And they are on her like fucking Velcro. It's like,
there's one kid. There's one kid, and I can't explain her. So you're just gonna have to watch it, you guys. But it was after the initial group hug, and then they start to show individual people coming up for a hug. And there's this one girl, and her face is just like, that's right, I'm hugging Britney.
Right.
And like, the walk away from that is just hilarious to watch it. And you could just feel Britney's energy, like, what the fuck are all these fucking
kids? I know. She's like, okay, when's the last one? Is that the last one? Is this the last one? Like, it's just so, it was so awkward. It reminded me of when I was in early high school. I don't know if this was a thing that they did at other people's high schools, but they would have these like pre-recorded like things for the like opening assembly, the opening, you know, like when they they talk on the microphone to the school. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Of course, it's
announcements.
Yeah, like in the Cinderella story. Remember the fucking girl in the Cinderella story when she's like, Austin Ames, come find your Cinderella. Like, yeah, exactly.
Yes, and they had these pre-recorded ones that pop stars would record about like not doing drugs and stuff. And like ours were Mandy Moore and Britney. And it was like, very muffled.
Iconic.
I know. And I would get so mad.
Wait. Rewind. I didn't have that. I just had like a normal person talking into like the thing, like the annoying girl in the morning. You had the voice of Mandy Moore and Britney Spears in your high school. Can we talk about that for a second?
You didn't. Not like, every day. It was like a random occurrence where you'd be like, hi, I'm Mandy Moore. Like, and it would be like an announcement about like not doing drugs and, you know, wearing seat belts and shit and whatever.
They never got Christina to do that, did they?
No, you never heard it from Christina.
Yeah. It's funny because now Christina for work, she has a, she does the voice of Waze. Did you know that?
Yes. She's like, take a dirty left.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Oreos, Waze, get your money any way you can, girl. Get your money any way you can.
Going right at the next street is what this girl wants. It's like, oh, really, God, it's very bad. I've heard it.
Oh, still iconic, though. I don't mean to shade. I don't even know how I got to shading Christina. No. Again, I love Christina Aguilera. It's just hilarious. Okay, yes.
So then at the end, yeah, we're at the approaching the end now. And this was around the time that Britney still pretty much always would like close the show with Baby One More Time, right? It was like guaranteed, right. Like that was going to be
open and closed because she would have that intro too, right?
Oh, right. Yeah. You're right. Respectfully, yes, it was always, and it deserved it. So she comes out in this extremely custom tube top that literally, she looks like one of the painted girls at the Playboy Mansion. It is a part of her body. It's so fucking, like, she looks so hot. It's tie-dye.
It's hot in here. It's very hot.
It's very hot. It's tie-dye. It's blue and pink. She's got matching pants. And I just want to point the fuck out that these pants have these cutouts on the hip bones. And I've never seen anything like it since then, ever. It's like, it looks like the pants could be ripped and turned into like shorts. And there's just like these cutouts on her thigh that are sewn into the pants. And it's just so cool.
And granted, the fit of this outfit, like you said, is so fitted. So I feel like on a television screen, like in 2000, like you can't even notice that detail. Mm-hmm. But that's probably why we're only noticing it now, you know, the little intricateness of all these outfits is because we're now finally starting to see it in more HD form, which we didn't get to see and appreciate. But I appreciate the attention to detail that I think, I don't know who was designing her clothes this time. I know she was working with the stylist Claudette around this time. Yeah. I don't know if she was doing it for the tour, but you know, whoever was doing the outfits for the Oops era were like, they were taking risks. They were taking risks with everything. And she was looking fucking fantastic doing all of it. And I love to see it. And
yeah.
And even just like you feel that, you know, moving on to fashion of today and performers, like, I feel like this is a look that I could totally see like a wannabe like Tinashe. You know what I mean? Like,
oh yeah, totally.
You know, wearing, you know, because it's just so, you know, the iconic pop star outfit, you know, this definitely lends to that image for sure.
Yeah, and she, there's like, I also wanted to mention, because I know that you'll get this, and I'm so happy that it's you that I'm talking to, because you'll get it. She's wearing fabric on her arm.
I know. Oh my God. Okay. I love it. This was around the time that Monica was doing that a lot too. If any of you guys remember the singer Monica, she was wearing armbands like it was going out of style. Like,
yes,
little fabrics. And it was just like an extra accessory. And like I said, how Britney was doing the glitter thing on her arm. She was doing this a lot. And it was always like a part of the outfit. It's so Y2K. And it's so fucking perfect just to complete the outfit.
So, I have a working theory that Britney is a better dancer when she's got fabric hanging off of her fucking arm. I swear.
All right. So let's send it over. We gotta send it to the fucking house. I heard she's buying Drake's old house. We'll find that address. Ship over the fabric. Let's do it.
I could truly think of a million times that Britney performs with fabric hanging off of her arm, but the one that I think of specifically, because she makes it a point to like, it's a point of whatever, is Slave at the Dream Within a Dream tour, when she literally stops and points her fucking arm out, and a person comes up and attaches the fabric to her arm, because it's the missing piece that makes the Slave dance. Like, people don't get it. The fabric is a big deal.
I'm having a literal orgasm hearing you explain this process because, yes, it is so intricately perfect with the outfits, the way they're designed, the way they fit on the arm. You know what, Troy? I think out of all the theories that you've had tonight, this might be the one that I think is the most accurate. She is a better dancer with an armband.
I'm telling you.
I think you're right. I'm telling you.
It's like I miss the era of her always having some sort of adornment on her arm. It's
coming back. She hasn't been able to have control of her outfits. Okay. We know that.
Yeah.
Like it's going to come back when armband 2024.
Yes. Yes. We're putting it out to the universe now.
Putting it out there.
But this is, I think, one of the most famous Baby One More Time for performances for sure.
Where the meme comes from. This is where the famous looking back at the audience meme comes from. This performance. Just so legendary. I don't know. Just so like a superstar and signifying the end of the Baby One More Time era and ushering in the Oops era. Really?
Yeah.
Like, she's just because the concert itself was that, but then they released it at the end of the Oops era. So then when you're watching it from the concert that we grew up watching it, we're going through the eyes of, you know, the Oops era has happened now, but this was right at the beginning of it. I love how all that kind of plays in, and she just continued through all that time. Her star not only started to shine brighter, but it kind of just reached unimaginable heights.
Yeah, this is really like such an incredible. I know that this isn't in general like a special or a documentary that gets talked about a lot, but like we mentioned earlier, for whatever reason, they use clips from this a lot to define or to explain this sort of era of her career. And there's a reason for that. It's because they're just so iconic, and she's so magnetic and incredible in this special. Like, it just signifies such a special time, just so innocent, you know?
Yeah, and then we get the final gusto of the hit me, baby, one more time. Live vocal. And she kind of gives us that, like, remember when she posed in front of the Eiffel Tower with her arms out like that?
Yes. She
gives us that pose. And then gets down below, and it's kind of like seeing God go back.
Yes. Oh, it's my God.
So perfect.
And if you're smart enough to keep it rolling through the credits, you get a little 2 or 3 minutes of Britney walking off stage and being toweled and, you know, running to like wherever she's going next. And you can see Felicia, and, you know,
I love those scenes.
It's the best. Like those moments when she's getting off stage and like, you know, that Felicia's got like a bathrobe waiting and, you know, her bath is probably drawn in the hotel and all that stuff. Like,
and Felicia's going to serve her the coffee that's made sweet because it's you know, made with her finger.
She starts with the finger.
Fun fact about the Fox special, there's a little tidbit right before this performance when she's like, hey, you guys, after this performance, you can chat with me live at fox.com/Britney. And it's just like, and it made me realize, I'm like, wow, we probably all thought that this was live when we were watching it.
Oh, totally.
Like, so funny. And then, you know, the whole feeds into the whole chat room design of internet of the whole design of this whole special. But such a great Britney special, and probably I think the first big one that we got, and deserves more love. And I'm happy that we just spent 2 hours talking about it, to be honest.
Me too.
People need to be listening to this. People need to be watching this. You got caught yourself a Britney fan if you've never watched Britney Spears live in Hawaii for so many reasons, but you know, you just can't.
Well, I'm insanely appreciative that you just did this with me. This was so fun. And yeah, I just feel really, I'm like, now I feel like it's the year 2000 again. I'm in a good place. I'm smiling. I have middle school tomorrow, so I'd better go to bed soon.
Yeah, 9:40 where we are. It's 9:40 where we are, listeners. So, you know, it's school night. You know,
exactly.
Get our Britney notebooks ready to be bullied for having at school by the straight boys. And
I better go tuck all my CDs deep in my book bag so nobody sees what I brought to school.
There you go.
Well, tell people again where they can find you and your podcast and everything.
Yes. Yeah, so you guys can find me. Well, the podcast, you can find Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, everywhere, Planet 2000s. And you can get me on Instagram at Planet 2000s. Or hell, if you liked me, you can follow my personal too. Why the hell not? At Michael Kadosh. And yeah, I mean, Troy is the bomb. And I've had him on my pod and I'm going to be having him back soon for an American Life episode. But I haven't reached out yet.
Oh, my God.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen, you know, but yeah. So I just thought, thank you for having me. You're kind of an icon, Troy, just by the way. Like, I know that you gave me my props at the beginning of this, but like, congrats to you, because your podcast, this one and your other Beyond the Blinds, you guys have been doing so well. Live shows. Like, I'm so happy we're doing live shows now. Like, COVID has allowed that. And, you know, actually getting to interact with the people, the listeners, and just getting recognition, because you're so friggin' great and you're so personable and you're one of my favorite people actually to record with, just because we're just so similar. So it's just so easy.
Right. Totally.
But it's just like, you know, I feel the appreciation. And I think that for those of us who love this type of stuff, you're an amazing person to turn to for that. So thank you for having me.
Oh my God. Well, thank you for that. I appreciate that so much.
I can't wait for more moments, for many more years to come.
Well, you guys, stay in school. I want you guys to stay in school. Oh, I want you guys to not do drugs. I want y'all to be nice to your parents and be really sweet, okay? And we will see you. We will see you here next week. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Dunzo. This podcast is a part of the Solid Listen Network. Please take a moment to rate, review, and subscribe if you haven't already. Also, be sure to check out our Patreon at patreon.com/solidlisten for exclusive content. You can follow me on Twitter at Troy McGee, and you can follow the podcast on all forms of social media at Dunzo Pod. That's D-U-N-Z-O. Thank you to executive producer Molly McAleer and coordinating producer Nicole Matthew.